Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Today we are discussing the urgent need to improve access to dental care for Australian children to diminish the burden of disease. My special guests are Professor Sharon Goldfeld and Dr. Mihiri Silva. They both wrote about this topic recently in Insight Plus. You can read their article by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. Professor Goldfeld is a paediatrician, the director of the Centre for Community Child Health at the Royal Children's Hospital, and the director of population health at Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Melbourne. Dr. Mihiri Silva is a consultant paediatric dentist at the Royal Children's Hospital, a clinician scientist fellow at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, and a senior lecturer in paediatric dentistry at the Melbourne Dental School at the University of Melbourne. Professor Goldfeld and Dr. Silva, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Now, you've both written on this topic for Insight Plus. Let's start by unpacking this urgent problem. Dr. Silva, tooth decay affects about a third of Australian children by the time they start school.
Yeah, it's quite staggering, really, because I think a lot of people tend to think of tooth decay as something that's avoidable and preventable, and it really very much is, yet it's just so common. So a third of children, by the time they start school, have already had tooth decay, and that increases as they get older.
But the burden of tooth decay is not equally shared, I believe, Professor Goldfeld.
I think this is really interesting, and probably maybe people don't appreciate the social distribution of dental caries. We've got differences in dental caries in children depending on whether you live in rural or metropolitan places, and differences in dental caries across priority population groups. It's really the social determinants at play. I think there's some interesting stories about fluoride and what that does to flatten that social gradient. And I think there's some interesting stories about access to dental services and, again, what that may or may not do to flatten that social gradient. But if you think about dental caries in two ways, number one, it's an entirely preventable chronic disease. And number two, it's an entirely preventable, inequitably distributed chronic disease. And I think we need to hold both of those things in thinking about, number one, it's a big enough and hairy enough problem and a problem solvable. And number two, to remember that the solutions are likely to need an equity lens if we're actually going to make a difference.
And let's look at the implications of this problem. Dr. Silva, what are those flow-on effects of tooth decay in children?
Yeah, and I think one of the dangers is to think of tooth decay as something fairly mild. And unfortunately, we know that that is not the case. It is one of the highest causes of preventable acute hospitalisation of young children. And those hospitalisation rates have been increasing over the years. We know that tooth decay, particularly in young children, when they are, you know, starting to go to school, developing social relationships, even, you know, starting to eat and move on to solids, and tooth decay can really impact nutrition, growth, school attendance and development. And tooth decay is the most common cause of toothache, and it can cause significant distress to a child and a family. Some of that which drives attendance at emergency departments in hospitals, at their GP, and then sometimes at their dental practitioner, often quite late down the track when these have gone on to cause pain and infection.
Okay, let's turn to the solutions. In your article, you talk about three key policy opportunities to deliver immediate change. Dr. Silva, the first possible solution is improved access to dental services.
Yes, Sam. Look, I think, most people are aware that currently there's very little public funding in general for dental services, and most Australians access dental care privately. Around Australia, most children are actually eligible for public dental services, but people are often unaware. And again, I know that Sharon's already commented on the social determinants, and we know that people who access, you know, the people who really need the care are often not accessing it. And that seems to be because dental services exist outside of what people are used to when they go to the dentist and access healthcare. And that separation really is a big problem. That's what has led to, for example, the World Health Organization's action plan, which was recently released, talking about this integration of dental care as part of overall healthcare and really looking at universal healthcare, recognizing that really there is no universal healthcare without dental care. And so in Australia, that means looking at including some basic dental services through Medicare. We already have a scheme, the Medicare Child Dental Benefit Scheme, which is still underprescribed. So there are challenges still making sure that the people who need those services are accessing them, our services are orientated and provided in a way that's accessible to the people that need to reach them.
And Dr. Goldfeld, there was a recent Senate inquiry into this issue. What did that find?
It's very interesting, and I think Mihir has really nailed it in saying we have this kind of odd dissonance, don't we? But somehow, and I think this is particularly in the medical profession, you know, we think about everything to do with the human being except their teeth, which kind of seems a bit bizarre on so many levels, really, when you think about it. And unfortunately, that's played out in the way that we deliver services to help people with their teeth, including the preventive aspects as well as the curative aspects. And that's kind of what the Senate inquiry is saying, that we probably need to expand the offering, not just to children, but to consider adults as well. And there's an interesting story that goes with this. When we had a look internationally, we were looking at social gradients in dental caries in children. We were using data from a number of longitudinal studies. And what was very interesting, and you know, I can't put a hand on heart around this about causal, but interesting, is Sweden has a very flat social gradient when you adjust for socioeconomic status. Now, it's not just because they've got a different sort of social system to us. There's a couple of interesting other things in there. So one is they have naturally fluoridated water, but the other is they have free preventive and curative dental services for adults and their children. And so the story, like the story with Medicare and going to see your GP, is a preventive story. You go to the dentist, you do it in a preventive way, and you do it as a family. Whereas in the Netherlands, where they actually don't have fluoride either, but actually they have quite a bit of free dental care, but it's not ingrained in that way that it's a preventive service. It's more, I can go if there's a problem. And what we have in Australia is, even though we have this kind of free 0 to 6, people don't go and even look at it as a preventive service. I bet those who do go are doing it. And we showed this with some of our data from the Longitudinal of Australia's Children, Longitudinal Study, that they go if they're wealthier and more educated, and they go as a curative service and not so much as a preventive service. So we've got this dissonance about prevention in our universal healthcare service, and we don't have that same mindset, I think. Mihiri would have that mindset, but I don't think families have that mindset of starting very young with prevention. So we can only change things if we remove a lot of those other barriers.
So it seems like we have a situation where pediatrics and child dentistry is not as integrated as it should be, and it's up to individual doctors and dentists to build these bridges?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and Mihiri will have more to say about this as well, where I think in pediatrics, I think we try very hard to integrate our holistic view of children. And I know that my paediatric dental colleagues try and think more holistically about children. And I think we're trying to get more paediatricians and child health professionals to think more holistically about children's teeth and mouths for exactly that reason. They're often the gateway to other issues. They're often interesting kind of times to tell a story about teeth brushing, times to tell a story about other things that are going on in your life. So I think we're trying to see a better integration of our two professions in a way that's kind of helpful. But, I mean, it is a challenge, and it's certainly a challenge if you can't get people through the front door.
And Dr. Silva, you're seeing the results of this firsthand.
Yeah, I'm mindful that I work in a wonderful tertiary organisation where we have these great conversations with our other medical colleagues, and you know, I'm so used to that exchange of discussion and you know, we often pick things up, or they might flag things, and we have, you know, that real kind of multidisciplinary care that's really about the patient and you know, much and so patient focused. But I know that particularly in busy primary care settings, that's hard, and it's hard to do. Everyone's very busy. And again, it's one of those challenges, and that's certainly what we're trying to think about. We know it's better for families if we are sharing that those kinds of conversations and making things easier for families, but it is hard to do that. There's obviously lots of health, and particularly, you know, I work with children, but definitely when we talk about adults as well in terms of chronic disease, and we talk about gum disease and you know, connections with inflammation and sort of more chronic disease, there's definitely important conversations, particularly, say, for example, with diabetes, you know, cardiovascular disease. So there's definitely lots of opportunity there. Dentists often you know, can see patients regularly, so there's that opportunity for shared conversations, but it is about how we make sure everybody is accessing that care in an equitable way as well.
Another key recommendation you make is the use of fluoride in drinking water. And Dr. Silva, you argue that people in regional areas are particularly at risk of not getting enough fluoride.
Yeah, it's staggering, isn't it? Because, you know, there is so much strong evidence about the benefits of community water fluoridation. And we see again and again how much it reduces tooth decay in both primary, so baby teeth, and adult, you know, so the benefits are really lifelong, and yet we don't seem to be able to ensure that all Australians can enjoy those benefits, and particularly in sort of smaller rural and remote areas, and there is some differences by states as well. The lack of coverage is a real issue. It's a real opportunity. It's an easy one, and that's been internationally recognised as, you know, making a difference to the oral health of the community. So it's kind of staggering that we're still not making that accessible for people in our community.
And the third policy opportunity here you speak about is exposure to sugar. Professor Goldfield, can you unpack that policy solution for me?
Sugar is really interesting because it's so pervasive in so many chronic diseases. So a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, there's the policy opportunity, but there's also the parenting opportunity as well, and I wouldn't want to take that off the table in terms of a lot of the work we do through our preventive healthcare services, both through the primary care, through doctors and through nurses, is about parenting and supporting parents and the sort of conversations you can have about food. So I wouldn't want to take the individual kind of health promotion and prevention message out. But from a prevention point of view, how do we just get families having less easy access to sugar? And the big kind of policy agenda on the table is a sugar tax. And I kind of like this because it's kind of one tax to bind them all. In terms of, you know, you've got a sugar tax that could make a difference to dental caries and a sugar tax that could make a difference to obesity rates. So you've got two of the most preventable chronic diseases that are inequitably distributed across our community hit with one tax. So to me, it's a bit of a no-brainer, but, you know, who am I? I'm just a mere paediatrician sitting out in the community. But to me, that makes so much sense because we've got such a chronic disease tsunami coming our way. If anyone read the intergenerational report, you know, be frightened, be very frightened, because really the load on the healthcare system that's coming in the next 50 years due to chronic disease will be massive. So anything we can do to stem the tide, and of course that will be socially distributed. And so the real onus on us, I think, as a society is to think about what are the sorts of things we can do that really will drive at those, both the inequities and preventing that chronic disease load coming through, as well as, of course, pain, suffering, ill health, poor well-being that goes along with it. So, you know, we try and go root cause whenever we can. And my view is something like the sugar tax, you know, to be debated around the details, but my view is the sugar tax is exactly the sort of tax that we should think about to prevent chronic disease in this country.
And Professor Goldfield, Dr. Silva, is there anything else you'd like to add?
We, as dentists, we spend a lot of time talking to particularly parents of young children about sugar and children as well, of course. And it's you know, these behaviours are important, but we need to create environments that support those behaviours, particularly when we're talking about a condition that's so heavily influenced by social determinants. There's often for, you know, many of our patients, there's a lot going on, and it's a difficult place to make behaviour change. And so we're very mindful of that, but also, you know, definitely look thinking about advertising, and sugar tax is just a really obvious one that I think could lead to lots of health benefits, including reducing tooth decay.
I just think dental care is, to me, particularly around children, is where the medical profession, dental profession, can really come together in a meaningful way to really focus on one of the largest and most prevalent and most, I think, preventable chronic disease conditions. And gosh, we can't prevent very much, really, can we? But we can prevent this one.
Professor Goldfield and Dr. Silver, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
My special guests have been Professor Sharon Goldfield and Dr. Mihiri Silver. Professor Goldfield is a paediatrician, the director of the Centre for Community Child Health at the Royal Children's Hospital, and the director of population health at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Melbourne. Dr. Mihiri Silva is a consultant paediatric dentist at the Royal Children's Hospital, a clinician scientist fellow at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, and a senior lecturer in paediatric dentistry at the Melbourne Dental School at the University of Melbourne. You can read their article by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. You can find more podcasts on our website at mja.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.